It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Inside the Birds is back. What's going on, everyone? Jeff Mosher here alongside Adam Kaplan. And listen, we are here on Monday. It is draft week. It is April 22nd. A little bittersweet that we're here, Adam. We did an excellent, what I thought was a fantastic pre-draft type podcast along with a live Inside the Bird pod. We did it on Monday night, last Monday night from Mayfair. Had a great time. If you've not been to the Mayfair Theater out on Frankfurt Ave, it's all new. They do plays there. They do shows. They hosted our podcast, Inside the Bird. Great crowd, lively crowd. We had a great time, Adam. The only problem is the sound. We had some technical difficulties, so we have to do this over again.
However, yes, that is true. But you can listen to the Corey Clement interview and really a discussion, yes, which is about 25 minutes, half an hour. We've got it pinned to our profiles on Twitter. And thank you to the almost 15,000 people have listened to it already, which is awesome. So we really appreciate that.
Yes.
And that's kind of was the idea, is to bring Corey in, give us the idea of what it was like to go through the process of not, A, being drafted, but being a Super Bowl hero. And there's a lot we learned about Corey. He confirmed the injury,
right,
which was not an ACL, which I told our listeners 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. LCL only.
Right, which is what I had reported for our show exclusively. Mm-hmm. And Corey kind of took us through the mindset of what it takes to be an NFL player. And then the thing that shocked me, and I didn't know this about him, that's why I asked him, I didn't realize that he was really not a pass catcher, even anywhere, at any level. He was more of a grinder.
Yeah, downhill running back.
Right, first and second down back. But in here, in Philly, his rookie season, I mean, he was a great pass catcher, and it was just remarkable. And we talked about Carson, what it's like to play with him, and just the whole process, and was fantastic. He's probably one of the most mature 22, 23-year-old players I've ever been around in my career, so it was great. I enjoyed bringing him in.
My two biggest takeaways from Corey Clement, and again, you can find that interview on, we Twitter live streamed it from Adam's Twitter account, so that would be at Kaplan NFL, and I'm at Jeff Mosher NFL. The takeaways for me were that he lost not a significant amount of weight, but enough for a guy who is not known for being breakaway speed explosive to now be in that 208, I believe you said, 205 range.
So 208, I could, yeah, and he was 225 as a rookie.
Right. He's 220 as a rookie.
When
right.
he comes in, right, so he's wearing maybe a sweatshirt, I don't know what, shorts and maybe a sweatshirt, right?
Right.
I'm like, man, he looks smaller. I know players without pads on look small. So I figured we'd ask him. And I said, did you lose weight because you really look thin? He goes, yeah. You know, I'm coming back from this knee injury. He goes, I've never been this light.
Right.
He said, I'm 208, and I wanted to get up to a higher weight. And he let us know, and you'll listen to it, the weight that he wants to get to. So it was very revealing. He didn't hold anything back. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. He was awesome. Unbelievable. Great.
My second
great guy.
Takeaway was, yeah, you realize how competitive he is. He did not back down from the idea of running back competition. And he even said the injury that he had to his knee was such a no big deal to him that if they needed him against New Orleans in that playoff game, he would have, quote, hopped his little butt out there.
I couldn't believe he said that.
But he did also declare he'd be ready for the season opener.
Oh, yeah.
So that's good.
Well, he's been running, so that's great. So, again, it's about 25 to 30-minute interview, and I highly suggest you listen because you really get to learn about him. Deuce Staley, by the way, who went through a similar issue being a running back by committee. So it was great, and I really enjoyed it.
By the way, I don't know if you caught it, but shout out to the crowd member who came by to say hello to Corey before before we started the show. And after he said hello to him, he gave him a little love tap, but a little love tap, bat right on the knee.
Did he?
I could
oh,
not
I didn't
believe
see that.
I thought
oh,
it was going to be
that.
The last time that we ever did a show with Corey Clement.
he was a good sport, and thank you to the crowd. If you watch the video as we pan to it, I think you could see that was pretty packed, so that was great. And thanks to the Mayfair District, and we're going to be back there again. Well, we'll have something to announce in the next couple of months about our plans with them. So look
absolutely,
forward to it.
You want to catch us live? There'll be more opportunities. Let's move on to the NFL draft preview part of this podcast. That's the real sound that obviously there was good demand for, and unfortunately we weren't able to produce from our end. It was a mistake from our end. We'll make sure that doesn't happen again. But we had some good juicy stuff. You've spent the last 2 weeks, if not longer, speaking to a lot of your personnel people that you know. I've spent the same amount of time talking to people I know. I know people who read my Patreon coverage on patreon.com/Jeff Mosher have already seen. I've done about two or three stories on profiling positions and certain prospects and giving a scout's take on them. So we have a lot of good information, and I want to start really by just, Adam, getting your overall kind of assessment here of this, the 25th overall pick, and just the fact that the Eagles have three picks in the top 57. That's a great position to be in for a deep draft. They're in good position here. How do you feel like this is going to shape up? You don't have to give me names, but just in general, like what kind of identity is going to come out of this draft for the Eagles in those top three picks?
I think they will come out of this draft, Jeff, based on the work that I've done on with two starters for the future. Whether it's a safety, we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a defensive end, we'll get into that. And whether it could potentially be a wide receiver, we'll get into that.
Sure. You mean at least two, right?
I mean, yeah, at least for the future. Yeah. Okay, for the future. Now, they've got three picks in the first 57. Mm-hmm. So you would think they'll get three starters out of it. It's easier said than done. Now, since Howie Roseman has come into power, I did a little research because I know we don't have a lot of time, but I want to sort of cover a lot of things I think are important. You could almost forget about what he did before he came into power in 16, Jeff, because things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
The mistakes that he made, which were numerous from 10 to like 15, mm-hmm. or when he had power, he's learned from them, I think, in a big way, and he's understood the value. He's really good at forecasting where players will go. In those last three drafts, they've drafted one quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, a tight end. We know who that is, Dallas Goedert. Four offensive linemen, one defensive tackle, three defensive ends, two linebackers, four corners, one safety. Now, why do I mention corner? Fans got all over me about 6 weeks ago about saying they could draft a corner early, perhaps in the first round. All I said was they would potentially draft an upgrade, only an upgrade. They're not into drafting just to draft a player. If you think there's an upgrade, you draft one. They don't have to draft a corner. Right now, they could line up with five corners. They're good there.
They could.
But they're not good enough there.
No, they're not in position to turn down the top cornerback prospect in the draft, whether that be DeAndre Baker or Greedy Williams or however.
That's where I was going to go. Thank you.
They're not in position.
Right.
I still don't know if that, and again, I think this almost goes back to what I was saying many weeks ago about running back and Josh Jacobs. I don't know if it's the likeliest position for them to upgrade, but if it's the number one guy on their board, and a lot has been changed, a lot has changed, I would say, in the last two months about me just investigating what's the strength of the draft outside of DL and what else. But yeah, I agree with you. You don't turn down someone that you might project to be the next, for lack of a better term, Darrell Revis, right? Just so that you take a defensive line because you're a defensive line team. Yeah.
Right. And that's when teams make mistakes. I remember Gil Brandt telling me, Gil was going to the Hall of Fame, told me the story about Joe Montana in 79. They thought they had enough quarterbacks. They didn't need to draft another quarterback.
Right.
Well, if they, again, now who knows how he would have done. He's a system quarterback at West Coast offense, but he liked Joe Montana a lot. But when you look at it, you always draft for an upgrade, especially early.
Mm-hmm.
You're not drafting players, we need a fifth corner. We'll just take a guy we don't think will help us. Well, then don't draft him.
Right.
And that's the way you have to look at it.
I would also say, to add to what you're saying, having a surplus is always a good thing, even though people will say, but you already have X, Y, and Z. Well, now you have the ammunition to make a trade at the end
of training camp. You know, you have a guy, if you bring in a cornerback.
But you don't look at it that way, though?
No. I'm saying it gives you that flexibility. If you come out of training camp and you're like, hey, this rookie is good. He's going to at very least play slot for us, right? And then we've already got Jalen Mills and we've already got Ronald Darby. We can keep Rasul Douglas, but that, what do we do? With, or we can keep Sidney Jones, but now Rasul Douglas is a guy that maybe we can move. Or now we can move Avante Maddox to safety where we think he'll be best. It just gives you trade flexibility or position flexibility with different guys.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I get that. And don't forget, Mills coming off of a broken foot.
Yeah.
He's also on the final year of his rookie deal. Ronald Darby is coming back from a torn ACL. Is on a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
That is why they will look at the cornerback position. I get it. They have a lot of them. But if you get an upgrade, you don't worry about what the fans think. You do the best thing for your football team. That's to take the best player on the board.
Right. So my biggest takeaway about what the Eagles are going to do at 25, and again, a lot of it is just depends on how the board falls. There's no crystal ball that we can say
25.
The Eagles are taking this, that, and the other. I would say this. You know, when the draft came out and Howie called it a historic defensive line draft, I think knowing that the Eagles prioritized that position, you got very excited, and it was hard to see them. Once the names started coming out of guys who were good, right, it was hard to see them coming out of the first round with anything other than a defensive lineman because of how highly these guys were rated and how much the Eagles prioritized the line. But as it has gone on and as we've done our research and investigation, and you see that, yes, it's a great defensive line draft, and that very well could cause 8, 9, 10 defensive linemen to go in the top 20, maybe even more when you combine tackles and edge rushers. You start to get to 25 and you wonder, is your best player on the board the 7th or 8th best defensive end compared to guys that you have ranked higher at other positions? So I don't know that it's a slam dunk that I once thought that the Eagles are going to come out of this first round with a pass rusher or a defensive tackle. And as you mentioned, I think you got to open it up to offensive tackle, safety, and even wide receiver as – if you were going to handicap it, you might even give that a better percentage depending on how the draft falls. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I think you set it up pretty well. The Eagles, under Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas, this will be Joe's third draft.
We talked about.
They're not big in eliminating good football players. Character's real big for them. Very few players since Howie's come back in 16 in fact, I can't think of one that doesn't have a good character.
Right.
This has been the big difference where Howie's gotten it right. You know, you learn sometimes from your mistakes. And I think, you know, obviously having Joe Douglas here, that's really where he helps because Ozzie Newsome and just football character where you care about the game, you accept your role. This team, and obviously with Doug Peterson being the head coach, boy, did players accept the role.
Yeah, by the way, glad you mentioned character. One really interesting caveat of this draft is that unlike the past few drafts where it seemed like the first round was bogged down with 60 to 70% guys who came with either one red flag or two red flags or real character question marks, I consistently heard from many scouts that this first round and first two rounds, just this in general class, there are just not as many red flag guys as there have been in the past. Even some that do, it's more about love for football than it is about having a rap sheet, you know, a mile long, which is a good thing because a lot of teams want to.
There's some with medical, right?
That seems to be the case more so than, oh man, this guy was arrested for that or this guy's just a bad guy. Or,
I agree with you.
Yeah, so that's always a good sign. Let's talk about first round. If it's going to be a defensive lineman, Adam, we know it's not going to be Nick Bosa. We know it's not going to be Josh Allen. Give me a cluster of defensive linemen that you think or you've heard will probably be around at 25.
All right, I'm going to give you one, and I've been because he fits their profile, I think, on players. And this player is Brian Burns from Florida State. This is the exact area where I think he will go off the board.
Love that you said that, by the way, because I really like him.
Yeah, there's a term that scouts use, height, weight, speed.
Yes.
He's got that. I think he's going to go in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to be a starter year one, although he could be, but he doesn't have to be, especially if the Eagles draft him. He probably is not, obviously, I think, when we look at it. But, man, when you look at athleticism, he's got it. I mean, not that a 40-yard dash really matters for a defensive end. Do you know what he ran at the combine? This is crazy.
Right.
4.53.
The interesting story on him is that he played at around 220 pounds, which is NFL linebacker weight, in college, and that he added about 15 pounds by the time they got to Indianapolis.
249 is what he weighed in.
Right. So the only thing I've heard about a concern on that is that it's good that he's now kind of more defensive end pass rusher weight, people are a little bit concerned about how that carries over when you gain that kind of weight in a short amount of time.
You're exactly right, because what happens is scouts will tell you, geez, I don't like guys who put on weight or take off a lot of weight in their training for the combine, because that raises a red flag. But his tape is really good.
Mm-hmm.
You're right in that you get concerned. What is his playing weight? And how could you use him? Because he doesn't have the versatility to play inside, which the Eagles love that with Graham doing it, or obviously sure. Vernie Curry.
Sure.
He doesn't have that ability, but he's quick twitch.
Right.
Remember Howie Roseman learned from Andy Reid and those fastballs that Andy loved on the defensive line? So mm-hmm. Burns, to me, would be the one defensive end that I think is going to be going off the board in the 20s, around 25.
That's the problem. I think he's going to be gone. And that's the problem that I find in the discussion with a lot of these defensive linemen. Because if I were to ask you, outside of Brian Burns, who's another pass rusher that you think might be available, I bet you're going to say maybe Cleveland Farrell, but
he's gone before him. Yeah, Farrell and Burns were the two guys in the 20s. I think Farrell goes in the high teens. I mm-hmm. think Burns goes in the 20s. I don't think he makes it. Because in 14, the Eagles didn't trade up for Brandon Cooks. They got beat by the Saints. They were going to draft him, I'm told, right. by multiple sources who were with the Eagles then, who were involved in the decision-making process. They were going for Cooks. That was their pick. So if Burns is the guy, and it's getting close,
mm-hmm.
you wonder if they would trade up. But
well, that's what I was just about to pitch that to you. I think in a draft this deep with really good talent, I the one thing about Farrell and Burns is that while they're Burns is a better athlete. He's more explosive. Farrell is more the technician who understands the position, has played it longer, and I've heard can be a 6, 7, 8, 9 type sack guy. I don't think they expect him to be a superstar, because again, you're 20-25, right? So I don't know if either of those guys are special enough to start giving up draft picks for it. And remember, we've both have said that Howie would much rather add than subtract draft picks for this draft. So I don't think either of those two, this is just me personally speaking, not reporting or anything, but I just don't see the special factor there for them to want to give up a pick.
I think it's a fair point. And by the way, they don't necessarily, if Chris Long for this season, if he comes back, do they absolutely positively have to draft a DN? No. But the reason why the Eagles are where they are as a football team is because Howie and Joe Douglas know it's not about now, it's about down the road with this right. football team. They're picking a 25 for a reason. They're a really good football team. It's not about this season, it's about down the road. If you draft Brian Burns, it's not about this year, it's about years 2, 3, and 4.
Sure. So let's then advance this discussion and say we both believe that Cleveland Farrell and Brian Burns are probably the only ones who might be around at 25, but it's unlikely. Certainly not Bosa. Certainly not Josh Allen. Rashawn Gary is a guy that I've told might tumble because of some passion for the game, and he's his own agent. You know, that's always
kind of raises red flags.
Even if he does tumble, I don't think he makes it to 25. So
I totally agree with you.
So
no
are
way.
We starting to really realistically see that if the board falls the way you and I might think, that pass rushers could very well be? I don't see them going Jalen Ferguson or a project guy at 25.
Yeah, I don't. I think I'm looking at my board and
The Adam Kaplan big board.
The type of player that they're looking at 25, you're talking about potentially receiver. This is part of my group. I have a grouping,
receiver.
Right?
Yeah,
I have a grouping of players that I think could be there. Brian Burns was leading off for me.
Okay,
it's a position of need for the future. The draft is about future needs, not current needs.
Mm-hmm.
Marquise Brown, who I've been telling you for a couple weeks, I thought that he would be in the discussion because DeSean Jackson is a 2-year structure on his 3-year deal. The Eagles are very light at receiver; they need depth. And now I don't think he actually returned in college, but he's going to return in college.
He would. Right.
He's now my concern with him is this. I had two people I trust tell me they're very concerned about his frame. He's very small.
Yes.
166 pounds, I believe, and I'll double check this as the official combine
flyer. He's like a DeSean Jackson clone.
166.
Yeah.
5'9" 3/8", 166. DeSean is what, 5'10", 5'11"?
5'11". He might have even been
172. 170. Yeah. So
I'm sure this kid can put on
but
a little
this
weight.
Kid is electric.
He's electric. There's no
how
about
he
it.
Likes his toys.
I know.
Can you imagine Doug Peterson, who's one of the best play callers with this guy?
You're getting ahead of me here. I wanted to go for
Sorry,
defensive
go
line.
Okay. I'm just going to 25.
No, I know, but I'm going to get there. I promise you. Okay. Trust me. I'll be the captain. We'll get there.
I got more for you at receiver. Go ahead.
Right. Defensive end, unlikely. D tackle. We've seen a lot in mock drafts, but you and I both don't see it happening is Christian Wilkins. If he was there at 25, he's an Eagle.
He's the guy.
He's an Eagle.
There's no
doubt about
it. There's no way.
But he's not going to be there.
He's Christian Wilkins from Clemson, you really, when you talk to personnel people, you can't really find a weakness.
Right.
He's really high character kid, really, really good football player. I can't come up with a term for him. The suddenness off the ball.
Yeah, the explosion, the get off.
He's really good. Yeah. I mean, he's a D tackle, so he's not Fletcher Cox as a pass rusher. Let's make that perfectly clear.
Right.
Fewer Aaron Donald.
Right.
He's your third tackle this year if you drafted him, and he's going to eventually take over for Malik Jackson.
Yeah.
And then eventually for Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, sure.
So this kid's a really good football player.
So he'll be gone.
He's not playing at 25. No
unless
chance.
It's something crazy. So yeah. He'll be gone. Right. Quinton Williams gone. Ed Oliver's gone. There's two wild cards I want to talk about. First, let me just rule out Dexter Lawrence. He's from Clemson also, and I know some people have said, well, you know, Bo Allen made the team, and he was more fit for a 3-4 scheme. That is true, but they're not going to use a first-round pick on a guy who has very little pass-rushing skills.
Yeah, they don't. This
and
is
Dexter
not a
Lawrence
team.
Is not a pass rusher.
Haloti Ngata was Haloti Ngata is not much of a pass rusher, but Haloti Ngata is because the Eagles thought they were going to be a Super Bowl team. They might have been had they not lost all these players and lost a quarterback. But right.
Plus, he was signed to be a situational
right.
run stuffer.
When we're talking about young developmental players, they don't want a guy that doesn't have versatility. They want a guy who could do everything.
Right. So the two wild cards to me are Jeffrey Simmons and Jerry Tillery.
Tillery's in my group of six.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a wild card, Adam, not because of talent, but this is one of those guys I was talking about where three different personnel men, all three, brought it up. So I don't know that you can call it groupthink. I mean, these guys don't work together. They're all different around the league. They both said that something doesn't add up with him from – the tape is a little bit inconsistent, but it's still good enough to be first round. But he is kind of the kid that they're having a hard time – finding out if the love for football
that
is
true
there.
He's very inconsistent. When he brings it, he looks like a top 10 pick.
Right.
He doesn't bring it enough. You've got to get through kind of who he is as a football player. You love the size. Six and a half. Here's what I love. He's not 340. He's not 350. He's not even 310.
Right.
He's 295
yeah.
at the combine. It's 6'6" and a half. So he has growth to get a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
He did run under a 5 flat,
mm-hmm.
Which is good for a guy his size. He's got all the ability in the world. Now, this is an issue because you've got Philip Daniels. We should talk about this. He's a new defensive line coach, a former
right.
player, and he was the assistant DL coach. It's the first time he's running in a room. If you draft Jared Tillery, your job is to get this guy to play with a high motor.
Right. No, I do. I agree. And I'm going to read you one quote from a personnel man that I got that I think sums him up perfectly. The quote is, "Very talented, very good. Athlete, very inconsistent, up and down. You never know what you're going to get. He's boom or bust. I personally wouldn't want him on my team. I'd just be fine with someone else. He has all the talent in the world. Just a guy I don't necessarily trust to put it all together." It's pretty powerful words.
Well, here's the problem, okay? We're in no man's land at 25.
That's a big part of it, yeah.
There's a big drop-off on my board here. Like Burns, I like. I don't think he makes it. Of this grouping, I call it the realistic grouping. Tillery, Burns to me would be the pick because he's more consistent,
mm-hmm.
more upside. Well, actually, Tillery actually has more upside. The problem is you just don't know what you're getting from him.
Right.
That's
what I'm saying. I think Tillery, I think it'll be really interesting if he's on the board at 25 and we'll see where the Eagles go. The other guy I mentioned was Jeffrey Simmons, Mississippi State. What I'm told is a top 5 potential talent in this draft, but A, he tore his ACL in February, so he's just like Sidney Jones will be out for most of the year. And B, there's an incident going back to high school, slapping a woman. I think his mom was involved in this. Now, everything I've been told by many people is that is the isolated incident. He's never had a problem. There is a video that you can see on. I'm sure everybody's seen it who's Googled him. But no one else has said a bad word about the kid. It's not like he's had a real bad, you know, like there's a real troubled kid. It was an incident that happened and nothing's happened since.
Right, isolated incident, right.
With the Eagles, what they went through with Sidney Jones, you wonder if they would do that again first round, take a guy who just tore his ACL in February, top 10 talent, just like Sidney was considered, right, but not going to play year one.
Yeah, but again,
I would kill them for taking this kid.
No, but again, it's for the future. They right. could still draft another tackle or sign a veteran just for this year, kind of like a Nada situation.
Yeah.
I would get it if they did it at 25 because I'm telling you, this is not – 25 is not a great area to be in because if Burns goes off the board and some of the other guys that have got targeted for the area, I don't know what they do.
Right.
Because that's when you you start looking at secondary positions like a Josh Jacobs or something like that, which I'm sure we'll get to. So we'll see what they do.
All right, let's go offensive line because this is a pretty good offensive tackle draft, and the Eagles have put a lot of work into him. If it's not going to be a defensive end or tackle, which it might, then you go to the next position the Eagles prioritize, which is offensive line. Cody Ford at 25, if he is there. And the Wilkinses and the Burnses and everybody we mentioned from the pass rushers or not, that sounds like a pick that could be an Eagle.
Yeah, so they worked him out. He visited. So they've done a lot of work on him. So another little nugget here. The Eagles have a long history of drafting players that have visited. It's not like if they had 30 visits, they drafted 10 guys.
Right.
They might wind up drafting three or four of them. Mm-hmm. Just in my study of gathering these visits over the years. Cody Ford is a guy that is going to be, he should go before the end of the first round. That he would be in my group. I think this is around the area that he goes, maybe a little bit higher.
Right.
The question with him is he a guard or is he a tackle?
That's a huge question. And not only that, Adam, is he right side or left side? Because he has played the right side most recently at Oklahoma. And he projects at right tackle. People think he's athletic enough to play right tackle. But you have Lane Johnson, who you and I have talked about a lot, being entrenched at right tackle. They're not going to move him to left tackle unless they absolutely must.
He does not want to move, is my understanding.
Right, and Brandon Brooks, although he's coming off an injury, is still a two-time Pro Bowl right guard.
Right, although I'm sure it was explained to Lane how much, if they ever wanted to move him and they really said, hey, man, I think this is our best interest, I'm sure he would do it.
Yeah, they said, hey, you went to Oklahoma, you got to, you know.
His preference, same school, his preference is, though, to play right.
Right, so if you drafted this kid, Cody Ford, right? If you're going to invest first round pick in him, you got to want him to play tackle at some point, right? Not just guard.
Right. The Eagles are big.
Unless it's like a Zach Martin situation where, hey, you're just getting great offensive linemen and put him in there.
The Eagles are extremely big on positional versatility in their offensive line. Like Matt Pryor, though he's 6'7", they think he could play guard. This is what they got. This is what Howie got from Andy Reid. Andy Reid was big on that.
Right.
And they're real big on that. I'll be interested to see where Cody Ford goes. He's in another of my cluster of players.
I'd be interested to know if they feel he could move to the left side and play left guard in a year when Isaac Seumalo eventually replaces Jason Kelce at center.
And it's not as easy as you would think. Mm-hmm. I've had coaches tell me it's a mindset. It's like you're playing a little bit left-handed. You have to learn something that you haven't done before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as easy as you think. Just playing either guard spot.
It's not
what I thought when I just thought it was easy. No, it's really not.
It's different. And then one caveat I'll throw in, and I'm not trying to kick a guy while he's down. Brandon Brooks coming back from the Achilles injury, but we've talked about he's one of those two or three guys who has a salary cap that just triples, like goes berserk in the next few years. And if you feel like you've got a really good right guard there who can slide in, and then you want to have to move on to save money, I guess down the road a year or two that could happen, but you know what I'm saying? Like Brandon becomes a cap casualty because you drafted really well.
Just remember, as we speak, we're 3 days before the draft, 11 out of their 22 projected starters are 29 years or older. Six of those 11 are on the offensive side of the football. And three of them, Brooks turns 30 in August, Peters turns 38 in January. We know he's not going to be back next year, but Kelce turns 32 in November. So, you know what? Yes, Jeff, we should be talking about the offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, the Cowboys did that really well, right? With Travis Frederick and Zach Martin and Tyron Smith.
Yep.
They kept drafting offensive linemen until they wound up having one of the best ones in the league. So it helps. Dalton Risner from Kansas State is a guy who I've heard can go in the first round, maybe in the second, has versatility, can play guard, can play tackle, maybe even play center. So he's a name I would say to look out for. He's a talented kid. But as far as offensive line, I think that's Cody Ford, Dalton Risner, and maybe the wild card, Titus Howard.
He's more of a project from Alabama State. I think
he's starting to get first round buzz, though, so you wonder if the Eagles would pull the trigger.
They had him in for a visit. My sense is, and just so the fans understand, our listeners understand, Jeff Stoutland is going to be a big part of this. Howie and Joe Douglas, everyone in their personnel staff, they swear by this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Mailata, the number one reason they drafted Mailata is because of Jeff Stoutland. And whether it was Lane Johnson, I could go say Malo, and Chip Kelly, obviously Chip brought in Jeff from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a great offensive line coach, one of the best in the league. So the fact that they brought him in for a visit, it tells me that Jeff Stoutland really likes this player, because they're not going to waste their time unless Stoutland likes him. Just so you know.
Yeah.
So if they wind up doing it, it's because of Stoutland.
Okay.
So you could put him on your list.
Yeah. I definitely think he's a guy they'll consider in the second round with their 2 second-round picks, if not the first round.
And by the way, if the players they like don't, if they, the players that they all like are gone, it wouldn't shock me at all if they traded down, because remember, they're all about flipping this roster. They're all about getting younger. That's something they know they need to do.
All right, let's move on. We've done defensive linemen. We've done offensive linemen. Now let's do skill position, wide receiver, running back. You mentioned Marquise Brown. I think he's the only receiver that I have heard that the Eagles or a team would consider at a team looking for a speed receiver would consider at 25.
Yes, in our first show when we talked about the draft, I mentioned Brown. That was the first guy I thought of. He is a game changer. He's just really, really small. He's going to have to learn how to return at this level. So that to me is something that to keep an eye on, because he would be great. That'd be a perfect pick. And you don't need him to play a lot year one. He just has to be used the right way. And Doug Peterson, I have total trust in him on how to use players. So I would say Brown would be there. That would be a guy. A.J. Brown, who they had in for a visit.
A.J. Brown's another good one. Mississippi State?
Mississippi,
that's
late first, early second. This is the area where he'll go. Though I don't think he'll go in the first round. I really like Paris Campbell from Ohio State. He visited. Mm-hmm. He would be with one of their second-round picks, I think. Yeah. Actually, he may not make it to their second.
Again, that's the beauty of having the two
sets. It's tough.
Couldn't you completely see Howie taking his first second-round pick and packaging like a fourth or fifth, he doesn't have a fourth or fifth to move up, and then using the second
round
pick to move down. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of work the board a little bit.
And then recoup what you gave up by moving down with the second round pick.
So N'Keal Harry came in for a visit. He's going to go late first, early second.
Yeah.
He's got really good size. He's kind of underrated. People like the way he runs routes. He knows how to use his body. That's the thing that is interesting here, because not that they're looking to get rid of Jeffrey, but he's another guy with his injury history. He's getting up there. He does turn 30 in February. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah. All right. Safety.
Yes.
The top
safety
in the draft is considered by most Jonathan Abrams out of Mississippi State. Wow. Mississippi State. Montez Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, Jonathan Abrams. How were they not better? I mean, maybe they were good. I didn't follow them too well.
Well, actually, I would not agree with that. Your guy, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, may go ahead of him.
Guy.
Yeah, I think he may go ahead of him.
Well, here's what I was about to say. I would say in the scouting community, if you're just looking at prototype safety, Jonathan Abrams is the most.
Okay.
But if you are looking for a Jim Schwartz safety, I think two guys they would probably prioritize ahead of Abrams would be Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from Florida and even the kid from Delaware, Nazir Adderley, because both of them have cornerback in their background. They're like Malcolm Jenkins like in that they can play, they have position versatility and they can play nickel. Now, I don't know that from what I hear, Chauncey more so in the first than say Nazir Adderley.
I would agree with you.
But maybe both of them in the second, the way if the draft falls the right way.
I would stick Darnell Savage, the Maryland safety, who won't get out of the second round, as a guy the Eagles will target. If he's there, I think they'll take him.
Another kid is Juan Thornhill, but not in the first. Maybe second or
third. Second for Thornhill.
Yeah, second.
He's a good player.
He is a good player. Virginia, right?
I'd have to look that. I can't remember what year.
I think it's Virginia.
Yeah.
They put a lot of work
into Thornhill's. He's a senior. Yeah, I wasn't sure what you said, what class he was in. Yeah, he went to Virginia. Yes. The three safeties that they'll look at would be, I think, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in the at 25. I think that's the earliest he would
go. Give him consideration.
Certainly second round. I don't think he makes it there. Darnell Savage will go in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
This is where one of their second rounds, I think they would take him if they don't have their safety. They must get a safety in this draft.
I agree.
Wouldn't you agree?
I've said that as much
as
anybody.
Let me flip it back to you. What positions must they come out of this draft with?
They must come out with a safety. I believe they must come out with a running back.
Must?
Yes.
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
They may.
I mean, they've been doing the whole UDFA and
I get all that.
For a couple of years now. And
It would behoove them, and I know they would like to get one running back out of this draft, but they don't need to. They could function very well with this group, with Jordan Howard,
well,
with Clement.
Fine, but I could make the argument that if, Sendejo stays healthy, and then Jenkins and Rodney McLeod are healthy, then they're fine at safety too. It's not about
this year, but I'm talking for future years. Now would be the time to get the running back because three out of their top four running backs are on the final year of their deal. So
now would be.
Yeah. So
isn't that what I'm saying? Now is the time.
Right.
You
but no, but my point is they don't have to do it. They could line up today with enough running backs to function.
Well, I don't think there's a position they have to that they can't compete right now.
Yes. You and I have talked about this before, yeah. And I think Howie mentioned it too. He seems to agree with us here. They could line up now and be a 10-win team. There's right. No question in my mind. But A, for depth purposes, where they have none, like a defensive tackle, they have no depth at all.
Right.
Trayvon Hester was a nice find, but they need depth. They've got to come out of this draft for the future with a running back. Mm-hmm. If they're thinking clearly of the future.
Safety.
Running back, safety, D tackle, D end. Those are the positions to me. Could they get away with going with what they have at wide receiver? They could, but it wouldn't behoove them to do that.
I almost think wide receiver more than D-end. I mean, D-end, really? They're aging, but they have depth. I mean, they do have four or five guys that can play the position.
Matt Collins, you just don't know about.
That's what I'm saying. No, D-end, I'm saying, is deep.
Yeah,
wide
yeah.
receiver,
yeah,
to me, is the more or the bigger question mark where you don't have depth.
Well, yeah, but how about this, though? If Chris Long does not come back, Josh Sweat we knew nothing about, okay? He started actually play as a backup base down player before he got hurt, and we know nothing about them. So they're in a position now where, boy, if they nail this draft, they're going to be set up for like the next 3 to 4 years.
Right. All right.
This is a great position to be in.
I'm going to give you a cluster of players. Right. You tell me, you handicap it on what the Eagles would be most likely to pick. At 25, available are Cleveland Farrell, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Cody Ford, and Marquise Brown. Who are they taking?
The DN.
Cleveland Farrell.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a higher graded player.
Take Farrell out.
Okay.
Now you've got Cody Ford, Marquise Brown, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Who are they taking?
Oh, man, that's really tough. If you and I were running it, I would take the safety.
You would take Chauncey Gardner-Johnson?
I would because...
I would actually take, even as much as I said safety, I think I would take Cody Ford. The offensive tackle.
Really?
Because I believe the depth, although you could get Titus in the second round probably. No, I still think the depth at safety allows you to get a pretty good safety in the second round. But, you know, tackles that position that once the, and this is what I was told, it's top heavy. Once the top three or four are off the draft,
my problem with that. I have one issue with it. Taking him the first round. They seem to be convinced that Jordan Mailata is a future left tackle. You and I were debating, this is really funny, for our listeners very quickly here. Bill Osborne, the third part of our group, will be back with us later in the summer. Me, Bill, and Jeff were debating whether, this is back in February, whether they would stick with Peters. You put me on the spot. I said, I had not even made any calls then, but I did say when you said, yes or no, Peters back, I said yes. And then I would later put on our show before it was reported, I said he's going to be back. I just don't know how he's going to be back, what kind of contract he's going to get. But I'm just telling you, internally, they think Mailata is going to be the future left tackle.
Well,
so with that being the case,
sounds
Jeff,
great to me, then is I draft Cody Ford in our scenario. I start him off immediately from OTAs day one at left guard.
Oh, well, that's a different story.
So
okay. By
not next year, but maybe the year after, I got Mailata at left tackle, Cody Ford at left guard. I got Samalu at center. I got Brandon Brooks at right guard, Lane Johnson right tackle.
Okay.
And tell me I don't have the best
NFL. So I'm going to move this forward.
All right.
As long as you're sure that he could play guard, that's a good pick. I'll go along with it because this is all about the future.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive line, you just set their offensive lineup for the future. It's perfect.
Right.
I agree with you.
All right. So before we get out of here, I just gave you a scenario based on guys who are available. That was, that we did. You just tell me right now, you're lean. The Eagles come out of the first round Thursday night with who?
I can only give you a group of players because of where they're picking.
Oh, come on. That's no fun. I can never get you to play
No, the problem is I don't know.
I know. I know it's a leap of faith.
Like 2 years ago, you and I did radio here in this market, okay? I said, here's who they like. McCaffrey was going to be the guy. I said, I'll give you three or four players because I didn't know they're going to – I didn't have Derek Barnett on my board. I didn't know that.
Really? I had.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have Barnett there. But now at 25, you could only go with a group of players because I don't know who's going to be. I have no idea who's going
to
be there.
I can't get you to play my game.
No, but I said it was going to be one of
suffer.
My – No, but it's going to be one of six players.
The listeners want one guy that Adam Kaplan thinks is the best bet. That's all I'm saying.
To forecast being there, I think it's going to be one of those safeties.
Okay.
One of the receivers who they had, but I'm going to give you a real sleeper, by the way, before we get out of here.
Okay.
Who I actually had on with me on NFL radio.
I saw. I believe I saw on Twitter you're putting out.
in a second. So I think it's going to be, I think it's either going to be our kid from Oklahoma, the receiver.
Marquise Brown.
Yep. I think it's a safety.
Mm-hmm.
Your guy, Cody Ford. Tillery. Burns, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll actually put them on there, though I really don't think they'll do it. But if they're pressed and all these players are gone,
Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs, who would be a fine pick because he will be a three-down back for the future, which they absolutely need. We've been crying for this for a year.
All right, I'll answer the question that I asked you just so we give a listener.
Go ahead.
So the listener can say one guy at least took a stab here, right, when the gun was to his head. I feel like a lot of the guys we talked about will be off the board except for Marquise Brown. I get a feeling that Marquise Brown will be the Eagles pick at 25.
I threw it out on a previous podcast. Yeah. That would be a smart pick because he is unbelievably explosive. What's next? Do we want to do sleepers before we get out of here?
How about a good small school or a sleeper? And then I'll give you one, and then we'll get out of here.
All right. So, Mecole Hardman, Georgia, wide receiver.
Nice.
I had Hardman on NFL radio with me. He's a really good kid, high character. He's going to go in the third or fourth round. The Eagles had him in for a visit. He is maybe... If he's not the best returner for this draft, he's certainly one of them. Good student, good kid, third or fourth round pick. Again, Eagles had him in for a visit. If they don't take a fast, speedy receiver early, he would be a good guy in the middle rounds because they really don't know who their returner is going to be for the future or this season.
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense. That's a guy to keep an eye on. I really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
If they shock me in the second round and take a corner, I should say shock me. If the board doesn't go like they think, and they take an upgrade, they're taking DeAndre Baker.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. That's not really a sleeper, but okay.
No, but that they don't need a corner. It's a sleeper position to take.
People aren't
talking about
that.
They don't need to take a corner, but an upgrade would be DeAndre Baker. This is somewhere around the area where he would go.
All right. I'm going to give you a small school guy, a running back, who will probably go late in round, but nobody even heard of him until recently. He played at Slippery Rock. Out there in the hinterlands of Pennsylvania, all right. His name is Wes Hills. He's actually a Wildwood kid, right? South Jersey kid. Went to Delaware. Transferred from Delaware. Tore it up at Slippery Rock to the point where I read that almost every single team has been to Slippery Rock to go watch him play. His numbers were amazing. He set records there. He had 1,714 yards. He even caught 30 balls. He was Division II AP All-American. The Eagles have looked at him quite a lot. He had originally committed to Delaware when Casey Keeler was the coach there.
It was one of the better coaches.
Yeah, it was a while ago. He survived a car crash. I mean, the kid's been through a whole lot. He is an athletic specimen. So if they don't get their Jacobs or their Miles Sanders or their Darrell Henderson, then look for them to try to get this kid because it sounds like he could even have some returner in his nature.
All right.
Good
stuff, man. We got it all compacted for you. We'll see what happens. Also, we're going to have a post-draft podcast next week.
Yep.
If the draft, we will give you how the players are going to be used.
We'll have everything.
I'll have it all for you. Jeff will have it all for you. We're going to knock it out of the park, and as we always do, and love those people showing up for us last week. That was awesome.
Awesome time. That's going to do it for this Inside the Birds, the leading podcast in Eagles Intel. For Adam Kaplan, I'm Jeff Mosher. We were happy to just take you inside the Birds.